This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing the good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Todd Lamonia. He's president and CEO of IntelliFed. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We've known each other all of maybe, 10 days now?
That's right.
And we met at an absolutely cool venue, the Maryland Marketing Meeting, which is a bunch of companies that get together just simply over lunch to network about doing business at Fort Meade.
That's right. That was my first time there as well. I met a lot of great people, met a lot of folks that I already knew. I did not know that they attended that meeting. I'm part of the ASBC, as you know, and a lot of great folks in that organization as well. But a lot of them go to the same events, so it was nice to see some familiar faces.
Well, you know, you're way out in Virginia. I'm pretty far out in Maryland. Everybody does stuff in Virginia and in D.C. Some, you know, Montgomery County got the AFSCEA event, certainly.
Sure.
But people don't think of Central Maryland as a place where you network, but there's several excellent venues there. There's the BBI group for Howard County and the absolutely wonderful Bill-run Maryland Marketing Meetings. Bill Howard is the power behind this, and it's an absolutely fantastic forum. So why were you there?
Oh, I was there to really talk about and meet people that are involved in the intelligence community. That's an area of focus for us. We don't currently do business with the IC, and I thought it was a good opportunity to kind of meet some folks from those circles and network with people.
Okay. Going back?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just met a lot of great people there. I'd love to go back and, you know, stay visible, you know?
Yeah. It's, for those of you who haven't been, it's the third Wednesday of every month from 11:30 to 1 at the Elkridge Furnace Inn. And you probably don't even know where Elkridge is, but it's out, just off, 95 and 195 near BWI. And, it's pretty easy to find. So go to MarylandMarketingMeeting.com or look them up on LinkedIn. And you'll get the info. Cool, absolutely cool event, though. About 100, 120 people there, I think, last
Something
time.
Like that. Great venue, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It's very open, only $30, and it's all networking.
And you get lunch.
And you get lunch. Pretty decent lunch. Plenty of stuff. All right, so IntelliFed is only, it's less than 2 years old now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Let's get a little background on you and your partners, but then let's get into why start a business.
Right. The big question.
The easy one.
Why take the leap off the edge? I formed IntelliFed a little over a year ago after being in the industry for over 16 years. Most of my experience has been in the government contracting space. And I dabbled a little bit in the commercial private sector areas as well, running IT departments, for example, for a little while. Our management team consists of four people. We have different focus areas. One is very heavy into cybersecurity, works for a major software manufacturer of security products. The second person has over 40 years of experience in marketing, communications, and outreach programs. There's myself, obviously. I have a very heavy IT and network engineering telecommunications background, which I bring to the table, as well as some cybersecurity, network security background as well. Finally, our fourth executive focuses on program management, and primarily he has worked with DHS at the FLTC location up in Maryland.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Near Frederick.
It is up towards Columbia, actually.
Oh, okay. Right. I know which one you're talking about.
Right.
I'm thinking of the Fire Academy.
Oh, yeah, right.
Slightly different.
It's the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Georgia North.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Their headquarters is
okay.
down in Georgia.
So let's get into why start a business. 2009 was not a great year to break into the market.
Right. Well, they say, you know, the best time to start a business is in a down economy. I guess subconsciously that influenced my decision. But I just felt the urge to really do it then. No particular reason as far as the timing goes. You know, after being around for in federal circles for, you know, over 10 years and 16 years in the industry, I just felt it was the time to do it. You know, my other, you know, partners in this venture, were totally on board and supported 100%. So, you know, I just felt like now is the time, to do it. I have a young family and, you know, I wanted to get it started before, they really got too, advanced in their education. So they're still small. I mean, I have a 2-year-old and a 7-week-old. So.
Okay. Yeah. And oddly enough, as we record this, that's my 13-year-old out there. He wasn't able to come down, during the, take your kid to work, thing because right. I didn't record a show that week. So mm-hmm. he did not let me forget. So school's out and he's here. So we're going to go upstairs and get a tour after.
All right, that's great.
We'll go to the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center. but you're right, you know, a little later on you're going to find that your time will be eaten by other major things going on. So you've got the cyber, the telecom, the engineering, the program management. What kind of business is IntelliVet going to go after? What would you like to go after?
Well, you know, focus on the new technologies, really. So what we're all about is problem solving and using new technologies to solve, you know, difficult government problems. Now, since, you know, we have, you know, a war going on, you know, the focus has been on bringing new technologies to, you know, our fighting men and women, bring it to the battlefield, make their jobs easier to do, you know, with a lot of different types of communication technologies out there. So, you know, our focus has really been multifaceted. The cybersecurity area cuts across all different agencies. Mm. It's kind of a horizontal type of business line, cuts across all different technologies and agencies. So we're taking a multi-pronged approach to it and really leaving no stone unturned in those areas.
Okay. So, one of the things that truly got my interest, during our brief meeting, really at Maryland Marketing Meetings, was the catch-22 nature of trying to, even for experienced people. I mean, between the four of you guys, you have, you know, 70 years or so of experience in mm-hmm. the government market. So it's not insignificant, but there's a variety of issues confronting any businesses. And technically, you're a novice business, but you're not novice players.
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. so let's start on that before the end of this segment, and we'll carry it over.
Okay, that sounds good.
The budget obviously is one of the issues here. You started your business the last time the budget was moving up. Now it seems to be moving down.
Right. So as we all know in the contracting community, the budget for next year it's going to be $38 billion less than it is this year. That's the of a total budget this year of $738 billion. That is the amount that's allocated to fund contractors this year. So the $38 billion reduction is very significant and has a lot of us concerned in the small business community, albeit it will not affect IT as significantly as some of the other areas, like some of the other areas within DOD.
Mm-hmm.
So that is good news for us, but it will impact us significantly.
Okay, and well, frankly, it's going to impact everybody, and we'll probably see the larger players, the primes, working more closely with the subs that they already have rather than trying to branch out, because that's going to eat time and money too. But we'll pick that up on the other side. My guest today is Todd Lamonia, President and CEO of IntelliFed. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Many people are still wondering what General Stanley McChrystal was thinking.
He really, in my meeting with him, didn't try to explain it. He just acknowledged that he had made a terrible decision.
Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, the Rolling Stone article that will leave a black mark on his career, made Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Admiral Mike Mullen sick when he saw it.
He is a friend. He's an extraordinary officer. He made a severe mistake, and I think the actions that were taken were appropriate.
I'm J.J. Green.
When you're flying somewhere, you ever think about the amount of information that is needed to get you to your destination? Airink does every day. Airink enables airlines to send and receive vitally important operational information. So the next time you hear the flight crew advise that you'll be landing in 20 minutes, you're 30 miles from the airport. You'll be arriving at gate B26, and the weather is fine. Remember, this information travels to you over one of the world's largest private networks, Airink's. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARIN.
Half Price DC's 4th of July clearance sale is on now. Gift certificates that were already half price are now up to 94% off face value. That's up to 94% off gift certificates to restaurants, spas, retail stores, and more, all with no shipping or processing fees. The Half Price DC 4th of July clearance sale ends Monday, July 5th, and supplies are limited. So buy your gift certificates today. Clearance sale prices up to 94% off face value, only at halfpricedc.com.
The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com explores the hard issues surrounding cloud computing from the government's perspective, sharing with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com, or follow the Fed Cloud blog on Twitter, sponsored by Intel and Cisco. Two technology companies leading the cloud revolution.
Here's Mark Cohn, Vice President of Enterprise Security for Unisys Corporation, on the Identity Technology and Citizen Privacy Panel, sponsored by Unisys.
And the strategy needs to address our critical infrastructure, the cyberspace protection requirements, and how we can be sure that we can authenticate digital identities in our emerging economy for both e-commerce and, broadly speaking, almost the entire country in terms of the population.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Unisys, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Unisys Identity Solutions provides citizens, employees, and travelers with the means to identify themselves assuredly, conveniently, and effectively in both physical and IT environments. The goal in every identification and credentialing engagement is to provide the highest level of identity assurance in the most convenient and effective manner. Unisys end-to-end solutions incorporate all aspects of identification and credentialing. Learn more about Unisys security offerings. Visit unisys.com.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune in to In Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest is Todd Lamonia, President and CEO of IntelliFed, and we're talking about the caveats for small business entering the government market, even small businesses with experienced staff. Yesterday, I was at a BBI meeting, the BRAC Business Initiative meeting over in Howard County, and the guest presenter was Dixon Gribble, who's the VP of Business Development for one of the divisions of L3. and he was there to talk about the various programs that are going on there and the small business slots they have open. But he was very, very pointed in a couple of things. Number one, the catch-22 nature of if you want to work at the fort, you need the clearance. If you need clearance, you need a sponsor, and the sponsor needs a contract that you are going to be working on. And if you're not already on the contract, it's hard to get you on the security clearance. Mm-hmm. Weird set of circumstances, but there's, you know, this new program at the fort, hopefully designed to take care of this. So, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, but that's okay. Somebody will. Dixon will say, God, Amtower, your brain's shrinking. And it is. But the other thing he was talking about is when a small business approaches them, they have to know exactly where they fit on any particular contractual vehicle, and they have to, he called it a unique strength, but I don't believe that there are unique strengths. If you have a competitive advantage, or what Bob Davis calls a sustainable competitive advantage, then you push that. So if you have a particular strength. So let's talk a little bit about how you and IntelliFed approach primes for, you know, sub-agreements. So.
Okay, well, you know, that's always a challenge. It gets into the past performance issue as well. Being a new business, you know, you don't have an established past performance record. You really have to rely on the experiences of, you know, of your management team to bring that to the table and to start building that relationship. So as you've said many times on the show, this is a relationship business. And you need to be visible in the circles, and you need to build the trust, especially if you're talking about, you know, trying to penetrate the IC or, you know, working up at the fort. It's all about trust and really who you know. So you got to be visible, build the relationships, and then things will come your way. You just have to keep on marketing and, you know, being very targeted in your message.
Yeah, and oddly enough, Dixon drove that point, too. He said, you know, companies come and go. Most of the people in this market stay in this market, so it's your reputation that follows you around. And if you're not working on that 24/7, 365 during your career, if you intentionally or unintentionally mess up, that's what people are going to remember. And that's what they're going to focus on. They're going to say, you know, do you remember that time when? So it's not a CYA situation necessarily. It's a do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Situation on a perpetual basis. So, you mentioned the ASBC. We know you're going to, probably become a regular at the Maryland marketing meetings. And if you go in July, you got to wear a Hawaii shirt, not a business suit. Cause we've been told.
I have to comb through my closet to find one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll loan you one. I got a few. But where else are you going to meet the right folks? Where do your partners go? You got four people. You probably cover a fair amount of ground.
We do. And actually, one of my partners is in Maryland. He lives in Bethesda. And so he actually went to the Maryland marketing meeting a few weeks ago. And I attended for the first time the last week. So we do get around. Spend most of my time in my car and a lot of my time in Tyson's Corner in D.C. meeting with, you know, primes, other small businesses, as well as, you know, customers as well. To inform them and get our name out and talk to them about some of the neat things that we can do on the telecom side and on the cloud computing side and cybersecurity as well.
Okay. Now, do you have particular do you want to talk about particular agency focuses or particular contractor focuses?
Well, right now, you know, basically everything's on the table. We're doing I mentioned a multi-prong approach. So we're approaching basically all the primes that are pursuing the large IDIQ contracts. You know, this year, a bunch of them have come out and will come out. Eagle 2, you know, VA's yep. T4. You've got CIO SP3. You know, there's a bunch. And so we're trying to... get on some teams, get some subcontracting arrangements in place, teaming agreements in place. It's been very challenging. for us, because a lot of the primes are actually taking a lot of the work for themselves these days. And, you know, I really don't want to be a 10th tier subcontractor because that won't get me any work.
Right.
You know.
Okay. Let's go back to the issue of how a small business really breaks into the market. I mean, again, you guys have sort of a different approach because each of you has experience in this market to greater or lesser degrees, probably 15 to 40 years, with you being one of the, at 15 years, one of the less experienced people on your team.
That's right.
Technically.
Right.
But that's radically different for you than a company that has absolutely no experience, yet looks at the government market as the, you know, hopeful savior of their business during this, you know, horrific economy. So what other issues do you face? What other issues are they facing?
Well, from a small business perspective, you know, it's always a challenge starting a small business, period. In the government contracting circles, it's even more difficult. Fortunately, I know quite a few folks at some of the major prime contractors, and I've, you know, leveraged those connections. And we are, you know, hopefully going to be doing some more work with them in the near future. Through some smaller opportunities to get our feet wet and to start establishing that past performance record. So really, I, you know, even though I probably have, you know, less experience than some of the other folks on my team, I actually have more connections with government folks as well as prime contractors, considering I spent most of my career working with those people very closely.
And those are key.
Exactly. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
A couple other things on the small business side for those folks that are listening who are thinking about or are operating a small business, just getting started. Financing is always a big issue, you know, financing and funding. There's a lot of things out there. You did a program, Mark, a week ago, I think, maybe a couple of weeks ago, about grants. And grants are a great source.
Kristen DeProspero.
Exactly. That's one area to definitely seriously look in and talk to Kristen about, you know, how you can do that, how you can get in on some of that grant money for funding. The other thing is really building a great relationship with your banker. That is really key. That person should be your best friend. You know, and that has really worked for me. There are a lot of banks in the area that are small business friendly and also understand the government contracting business as well. You know, I could certainly provide some referrals offline if need be. Just send me an email.
Okay, you don't want me to ask you which bank you use, so
no.
I'll ask during the commercial because I have relationships with a few myself, and I will mention one of them. I've banked with Sandy Springs since 1979, and they do have a fairly active government program. So,
and a lot of the banks are more heavily into the SBA. You know, loans as well.
Right.
And you definitely want to talk to some of those folks when you're just starting out. SBA had a great program that they were running. They were guaranteeing up to 90% of the loans, loan amount, I should say, up until May 31st. And then they went back to the 75% guarantee. Hopefully they will renew the 90%. You know, that was a huge incentive for a lot of banks to lend, as well as a lot of small business owners to pursue that that 7A program.
Right, and there's for other funding venues, my friend Richard Lewis, for instance, used to run Commerce Funding Corporation before they were purchased by Wells Fargo. Richard is still a consultant and works with a number of banks to help small businesses find the funding necessary to pursue the contract. So once you win, the government wants to know the money's going to be there before they award you the contract. You can't give a company a contract if they don't have the funds to crank.
Absolutely.
So, again, it's a, kind of a catch-22. You can bid on the work, but you can, you know, lose the bid because you don't have the funding set up first.
Right, and that goes back to a good relationship with your banker.
Yeah.
Because there are ways that they can do that, you know. They can
give you the letter.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And that's all it takes, boys and girls, you know, but they have to know who you are, the bankers. You know, just because you have an account there and it's been active for 7 or 8 weeks since you started your business doesn't mean they're going to back you up.
That's right.
Yeah, the money side is critical, but that leads to slightly different aspect in the infrastructure side. You're accounting. I mean, are you guys? A lot of people can manage on QuickBooks and Microsoft platform. You're certainly not ready for probably Dell Tech yet, because that's going to cost you a few bucks. But
No, we use QuickBooks, and I am right now our chief accountant as well, so I'm doing most of the bookkeeping. However, hopefully that will change soon. I'm looking to bring someone in to do that. But basically, you know, as far as QuickBooks goes and other accounting packages, I relied on a consultant to set it up so that, you know, from the beginning, you know, it's basically DCAA compliant, follows the accounting system that they require government contractors to use. So I won't have any issues down the road.
There you go. My guest today is Todd Lamonia, president and CEO of IntelliFed. You can find them at IntelliFed.com.
That's right.
That's right. And we'll have to mention that again, because I haven't mentioned it yet. My name is Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
In this unpredictable economy, how much money have you lost? Join me, Carl Balestrieri, each week as we tackle the tough situations you've encountered and offer solutions for protecting your money and weathering this storm. In some of my future shows, we will be exploring the truth about investing, some of the things that your broker and financial planners may not be telling you. Join me, Carl Balestrieri, on Federal News Radio, Saturday morning at 10:30 for Right on the Money.
Please join Jim Fleisig July 6th at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month's program will discuss progress made in healthcare IT, the Nationwide Health Information Exchange, and the Nationwide Health Information Network. The panel includes government leaders from HHS, VA, MHS, and SSA. Don't miss The Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, July 6th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by CA Technologies and McAfee.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Balintvi. Vitamin C and E supplements failed to reduce the risk of preeclampsia, a potentially fatal form of hypertension in pregnancy. Dr. Catherine Spong at the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development explains how these study findings came about.
We found this out because we did a very large randomized control trial of over 10,000 women who were relatively low risk, meaning they didn't have problems such as hypertension or diabetes or other medical things that can increase your risk for developing preeclampsia.
The findings appear in a recent issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. For more on the study, visit www.nichd.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
Tired of playing catch up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Todd Lamonia, President and CEO of IntelliFed. You can find him at IntelliFed.com. So networking, relationships, that's got to lead to one of my favorite subjects, which is the use of social media in the market. And all, you know, there's just tons of web platforms, and we're connected to LinkedIn. So you know that that's my primary focus. I have, I'm in 62 groups, which is 12 over the maximum limit that they allow, but 12 of those are subgroups, so it's okay.
Right.
Up to 2,728 contacts, not that I count. And these are primarily in the government market. But, you know, a la Malcolm Gladwell, I want to be a connector on LinkedIn in this market.
Right.
Because I know the vast majority of contractors are already there. So how are you using social media? How are you, and can you convince the one guy who's been doing this for 40 years to even get on?
Well, I've actually been on LinkedIn for a long time. I personally used it for a long time just to keep in touch with folks. You know, over the years, you meet so many people, it's really difficult to keep in touch with them. And LinkedIn is a great tool for that. I'm also in about 30 groups, and I get daily emails, you know, from those groups.
Mm-hmm.
It's very active, and I find it very useful to, you know, not only keep in touch with people, but also, you know, get, you know, sales leads, you know, from those groups as well. It's a huge resource for anything that you need, too. You know, if you need a consultant for a specific project, you know, you can send a note out to the group, and I guarantee you'll get a response. So as far as resource pools go and, you know, filling needs that you might have, short-term needs in your business for a contract, for example, it's great for that as well.
Cool. We have some notes that you sent me prior to the show, so I'm just going to throw out some stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with our mutual favorite, GovTwit.
A very unfortunate name, but it's a very cool idea, actually. It's a Twitter directory of anything government. All the government folks that are on Twitter, you know, all the agencies that are on Twitter.
Dorbeck here.
Exactly. Anything government-related is on there, and it's searchable. And it uses, you know, hash codes, for example. Those are the codes that you can embed in your Twitter message that help categorize it in a certain category. So people can search on it and find Twitter discussions and feeds for different topics.
Okay.
So it's government-focused, an unfortunate name, but definitely check it out. It's govtwit.com.
And you've been monitoring it for other governmental activity as well, particularly emergency communications. So.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's Twitter, I think, is just an awesome platform for real-time communications, and it's two-way. You know, you used to have, for example, you know, we were talking about podcasting. Well, podcasting is very cool, too, but it's a one-way communication. You know, Twitter is two-way, albeit it's text-based, and there's some limitations to it, but there's a lot of applications out there, I think, in the government space, and even inside agencies to disseminate urgent messages quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a very useful tool for that.
GovLoop.
GovLoop. I'm relatively new to GovLoop. It's kind of a combination, really, between LinkedIn and Facebook. A lot of government folks on it, which is really cool. So it's a place to really for government and industry to meet. And I found that really useful when you're vetting ideas, when you're trying to establish contacts in certain agencies. It's been very valuable for me in that way.
Steve will love that.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Ressler is the founder of GovLoop, originally started by For and About Feds. They were bought by GovDelivery, and then GovDelivery was bought by somebody else, so it's no longer there, but it's got about 32,000 members, I think.
Yeah,
so
it's
and,
growing
and largely Gov.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the podcasting side of things for a couple of minutes. The way people digest information is radically different now than, well, it's not radically different, but it's offered in different venues. I mean, we've always digested information visually and auditorially.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now the delivery methods are different. So we have the massive use of YouTube, even for mm-hmm. business,
right.
You know, companies like Cisco and literally hundreds or thousands of others have their own channels there and podcasts with dissemination through places like iTunes.
Right. Podcasting is a tried and true method of really getting your message out. If you have a recurring program, for example, NASA uses it extensively to give updates on their missions as well as what's going on in the agency overall. They have a program called This Week at NASA that I watch religiously every week to catch up on what's going on there.
Where's that?
It's a video
YouTube
podcast. No,
okay.
That's through iTunes.
This Week at NASA. My mm-hmm. son would love that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We're NASA geeks.
He oh, yeah.
is. I'm a tag along.
I've been to the Space Center. Yep. Mm-hmm. To watch a launch. Although mm-hmm. the launch that we went to was scrubbed, unfortunately, with 3 minutes to go. But I was there.
There you go. Well, you know, waiting.
But podcasting is, you know, it's a tried and true method. It's really good for example, radio shows like yours, for visual and you know, audio type media. It's easy to take with you, too. You know, if you use Apple devices, iPods, iPhones, iPads, everything is built into iTunes, so when you sync up your device, you can just take it with you and watch or listen to that program when you're on the metro. Since I'm in my car most of the time, I just plug it into my radio,
mm-hmm.
and I listen to your program. And
thank you.
and other programs, you know, in my car while I'm going from appointment to appointment.
Okay, so you don't listen to Federal News Radio, but you download Federal News Radio stuff. So,
well, I
don't forget Larry Allen's show if you're going to go on schedule.
I live so far out. I live in Warrenton, and you know, unfortunately, the signal doesn't get to us. But when I'm in town, I do flip it on. So.
There you go. You got to be close. And when we were on 1050, you needed a steel plate in your head to pick it up. And when you heard the voices, they took you away. So
great station, though. Great station.
Well, thank you. I'm sure the people here will love to hear that. What about the video side of things? Do you use that currently, or are you migrating at all in that direction?
We don't use it. It's useful for training, mm-hmm. I think, and also product demos. So it's not really that applicable to what we do as a company, but I definitely recommend it if you're in the products business, doing product demos, even instructions on how to actually connect a product to, say, your PC or laptop mm-hmm. or something.
Right.
It's very useful for that.
It's not conducive to sitting there watching somebody program them.
So.
No. not exciting. It's like watching C-SPAN.
Yes.
All right. My guest is Todd Lamonia, president and CEO of IntelliFed. You can find them at IntelliFed.com. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our discussion by talking a little bit more about the issues facing small businesses and Todd's advice to small businesses coming into the market. My name is Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Here's Dennis Tolliver, Blade Specialist Hewlett-Packard, on how to jumpstart your desktop virtualization initiative, sponsored by GTSI, Citrix, Microsoft, and HP.
So on the desktop virtualization, if you go to a thin client, it's very much like a PC, but no moving fans, no hard drives. That consumes a lot less power. And because whenever you use less power, you give off less heat, it's good for the bottom line of the company. It consumes less power. You don't pay for that power.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Looking to cut your data center cost while maintaining your level of service? With a virtualization solution from GTSI, your IT becomes more efficient. Application deployment is accelerated. Services are more predictable. And upfront planning results in increased long-term savings. GTSI. One mission. Yours. For more information, visit gtsi.com.
What is the Global Partnership Initiative? How is the U.S. Department of State leveraging private-public partnerships to achieve foreign policy goals? Listen next week as these questions and more will be explored with Ambassador Elizabeth Frawley Bagley, Special Representative, Global Partnership Initiative at the U.S. Department of State. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
If you're a federal manager, this year you're being asked to open up government by increasing transparency, enhancing collaboration, and improving citizen engagement. Don't take on this challenge alone. Join hundreds of your colleagues at Excellence in Government on July 19th and learn about the latest best practices and new technologies that are required to make open government a reality. Visit excelgov.com today to reserve your place at Excellence in Government, the premier best practices conference for federal managers.
Federal News Radio now has an iPhone app where you can listen to Federal News Radio, read Mike Causey's daily columns, and listen to interviews from all of your favorite shows on demand, like The Federal Drive, The Dora Beck Insider, In Depth, and Your Turn. Stay on top of the latest news affecting the federal government and contracting community, all from the palm of your hand. And the best part? It's free and easy. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Todd Lamonia, President and CEO of IntelliFed. You can find IntelliFed at IntelliFed.com. That's I-N-T-E-L-L-I-F-E-D.
That's right.
.com. Just in case I hadn't spelt that out before. And I'm going to change tracks. We did the small business thing before, so I don't want to rehash that. So let's get into one of the areas that you guys are involved in that I have been tangentially involved in for literally 22 years now, and that's the cybersecurity side of things. And I mentioned during the break, somewhere around 89 or 90, I was actually invited to sit on the board of the National Computer Security Association, not for any technical expertise, but because I had the marketing side pretty well scoped out. So I've been watching this for a while, and it's a pervasive. It grows. It's annoying as hell. all these things. So start at the 25,000 foot level and get granular.
Well, yeah, you're right, Mark. I mean, computer security is really nothing new. However, you know, the game has changed, you know, these days with computers being connected, everyone having, you know, many people having internet in their home. This the National Broadband Initiative is going to increase availability to broadband application or broadband applications and the internet to you know, most of the people in the United States. So being aware of cybersecurity is really important, and I think honestly that it really needs to be embedded into the curriculum in the school systems. You know, I think kids really need to learn about this at a young age, so that when they go online, they're going online, you know, they're, you know, 5-6 years old, you know, and that's kind of old to be going into.
Yeah, my son taps into Facebook and he finds a game he wants to play, and all of a sudden I know he's downloading stuff
right
from a game that he tapped into through Facebook, and I'm going, time out.
You know, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Mr. McAfee here says something's amiss.
Right, right. So, I mean, that those are the things that, you know, I think we need to raise awareness in general and embed that into the curriculum of the school systems, maybe even have a cybersecurity class. There are organizations like the National Cybersecurity Association that has a their nonprofit, staysafeonline.org is their URL. They have a actually, did you know that October is National Cybersecurity Month?
I did not.
It is. Their website's great for both you know, home use, internet users, as well as small businesses. IntelliFed actually is an endorser of the National Cybersecurity Month, so we're involved in that organization as well. So I recommend going there to take a look at what they have, especially for parents out there, but also businesses as well. You know, businesses really need to get involved and understand the issues because their infrastructures are threatened as well, and there are some simple things you can do to protect yourself. In shifting back to government and the federal focus in Congress, you know, there's this the 2010 Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act, which I think is an important piece of legislation. You've got people that support the legislation, and also there are critics saying it goes too far or it actually duplicates some of the legislation that's already in place. You know, I don't have an opinion either way at this point. I think that if it does pass, it will be a good thing because it'll streamline some of the FISMA rules, making it kind of updating basically FISMA, reducing a lot of the paperwork that's involved in the FISMA process.
Yeah, so for information security, it was heavily laden with paper.
Absolutely.
And which slowed the process enormously.
Right. But I think the problem still remains as far as government goes in that, you know, I think they still treat cybersecurity as kind of a bolt-on. You know, it used to be information assurance, you know, was the bolt-on to any IDIQ contract. Well, really, the thinking's got to change. The cybersecurity needs to be embedded in the systems and the applications. So we're not talking about a bolt-on anymore. It really needs to be embedded in the systems. The software developers, the people that designing the systems need to embed the security controls in order to, you know, prevent these sort of gaping holes in some of the applications that the government uses today.
Right, and a lot of these issues are not necessarily new. My friend Wynn Schwartow started a show called InfoWarCon back in the early mid-90s, and it went away for a while, but it was just restarted again in 09. So it's back, but I mean, these issues were there, at that time. And I believe Wynn was one of the first ones I ever heard say. Wynn and, Lynn McNulty, who used to work at National Institutes of Standards, now it's ISC. Mm-hmm. Both of them were saying, you know, you got to build these things into, at least the programs, if not the systems.
Right, right.
So
now I think the U.S. Cybercom, right? U.S. Cyber Command, that's being led by General Alexander at the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think that's really a great place to start. You know, all the branches of the military also have their own cyber commands as well. The thing that I'm really concerned about is interoperability among all these different, I call them stovepipe organizations. Is there anyone really thinking about the horizontal nature of integrating all these different cyber commands and passing information and intelligence between them? I don't know if that's happening. I certainly hope that they are thinking about that and also thinking about the standard operating procedures that need to be embedded in reacting to any sort of cyber national emergency situations.
Well, one would hope that some of the social media platforms that we discussed earlier or some that we didn't discuss earlier would be employed in the background for the information sharing, lessons we've hopefully learned over the last 10 or 15 years.
Right. I think that's a good point. And to put together or design a system that is maybe Twitter-like, but not Twitter per se, but uses that technology maybe in a licensed way on a private network, on a government network, I think may be a good solution to that issue, to conveniently and quickly pass messages back and forth.
Cool. We're going to be checking back in with Todd. Todd's business is in Telefed. You heard him say that he started about a year ago. We're going to be checking back in every couple of months to see what kind of milestones have been reached, what kind of small business impediments have been skirted, avoided, or remain in place. Mm-hmm. Todd, thank you very much for coming in. Any final thoughts?
Well, I think when you're a small business, it is a struggle, but that's why you're in it. Again, make sure you have a good relationship with your banker. Use your connections. Use social media. Use Facebook, LinkedIn, and all the other tools that are at your disposal to get your message out.
Yep. And my add on there would be focus on LinkedIn first, because that's not only my preferred platform, it's where I find all of the contractors, literally. So again, thanks for coming in. We're going to check back with you in a couple of months. You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest has been Todd Lamonia, President and CEO of IntelliFed. Again, you can find them at IntelliFed.com. And this is not my day job. If you're looking for some of the best marketing advice in the government market, or if you need to know how to incorporate social media into your marketing program, give me a call. You can find me at FederalDirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Here's Brian Ichikawa, Vice President of the Identity Solutions Practice, Unisys Federal Systems, on the Identity Technology and Citizen Privacy Panel, sponsored by Unisys.
One of the big things that we'll see is the U.S. federal government really is, I think, paving the way for not only identification, but also e-authentication. As more and more services are offered on the Internet to citizens, the need to be able to more strongly authenticate them is going to become more and more important as well.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Unisys, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Unisys Identity Solutions provides citizens, employees, and travelers with the means to identify themselves assuredly, conveniently, and effectively in both physical and IT environments. The goal in every identification and credentialing engagement is to provide the highest level of identity assurance in the most convenient and effective manner. Unisys end-to-end solutions incorporate all aspects of identification and credentialing. Learn more about Unisys security offerings. Visit unisys.com.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has launched a federal website meant to answer questions about the response to the BP Gulf oil spill. Agency officials say it's designed as a one-stop shop for detailed, near real-time information about the response to the Deepwater Horizon incident, incorporating data from the various agencies that are working together to tackle the spill. Originally designed for responders who make operational decisions regarding the disaster, the website integrates the latest data on the oil spill's trajectory, closed fishery areas, wildlife, and Gulf Coast resources into one customizable interactive map. The website is www.geoplatform.gov/Gulf Response. Again, that's www.geoplatform.gov/Gulf Response.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Well, you know, Facebook has been having somewhat of a problem because they're just sharing your data with everybody. Mm-hmm. Deactivation is not the same as deletion.
The information is still out there.
And what they try to do is they try to urge you to deactivate, and they try to keep you away from that nasty deletion page. You see, deactivation simply turns off your account, but does not remove the data. The idea behind deactivation is that someday you'll be back.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.